Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Philosophy.
What up, everybody?
And welcome to another episode of
Philosophy.
How you doing, bro?
I am chilling like a villain.
Perfect.
And today I am hyped, really pumped.
This is probably the number one most suggested and requested guest for Philosophy. People will speak to us and be like, have you thought about getting this person on? Yes, we've thought about getting this person on, but not until now have we actually got them on. Please welcome to the show, Luis Ribeiro, a.k.a. Monchinha, a.k.a. head coach at London Fight Factory.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please grab your seat for Monchinha!
And here he is.
Yeah. I like to see like the light goes,
Coach, how you doing?
Good.
Fantastic. So, listen, we're going to start this off how we do every single podcast and ask you how you got into jiu-jitsu.
How I got into jiu-jitsu is not a secret for most people that know me, but hopefully somebody going to listen to this today. So I got in jiu-jitsu because I used to do boxing a long time ago, and my box coach was a purple belt in I met a guy that was a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. He just moved to São Paulo, where I'm from, and I didn't have anything to do. My boxing season was kind of like off, and then I went to his gym. Then he put me to spar with a guy that was at least 10 kilos lighter than me, skinny, a dentist. I think his name is Ricardo. Never going to forget his name. And he literally, can I swear?
Please.
He kicked the shit out of me, left, right, middle, and center. He armbarred my right arm so many times, and when I came back home, I was so quiet on the back seat, and everybody said, hey, what's up, why so quiet? And I just said, can I come back tomorrow, please? That's how jiu-jitsu started.
What was the story from then on in?
Fast forward, like, I managed to be training jiu-jitsu like for 21 years coming up now in March. Been run like a gym that's been successfully for 17 years, regardless of the corona situation. Met amazing people, great students, could see people change their life, achieving goals, made good friends of it. So, like, life is good.
So, coach, from the moment, let's say you had your first class, till the moment, what was the next thing that happened? So you have your first class, you go...
And as
you
a white belt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ah, like, ego. <That's> talking ego. I couldn't, like, sleep knowing that, like, I used to box with, like, heavy people. I used to be part of, like, the Brazilian nation team just to be sparring for, like, the Cuban, the Argentine. So, like, I knew my level in boxing. And I get destroyed by, like, a guy that was, like, you know, a dentist that like couldn't even like swear. He was so polite. It got into me so bad that I need to get good at it. So like I think ego was the first thing.
Wow.
And how long were you training in Brazil before you came to London?
Not even a year. Like I started training jiu-jitsu there, let's say the mid of 1999 towards the end. Clearly I remember living there like around, yeah, like I think I started maybe like, I would say maybe October, November, because I got in March 2000, so I didn't have like 6 months of jiu-jitsu at all, but I was constant. I was training 3 times per day. I was offered to help in the privates, like when Leo has a private class, I used to jump in the cab, pay for my own pocket just to be like the sparring partner, just for like, you know, learn the technique. I used to have like fucked up nails because like I don't know, I never look after, like I had like a fungus on my nails, and like, when I went to train on my own at Allianz on the headquarters, Fiber Gurgel, I was the only white belt. Fabio Gujar looked at me, looked at my face, say, "You're not training here with those names." I was like, "No." That was the day when I think Daniel got his purple belt. I was like, "No, I must say I have really disgusting toenails." And like for Lee was okay, you know, like, "Fuck it, go train." But like for Fabio, at the place where he used to cheat, was like, you know, clean, like most of the gyms actually, you know. And I said, "Oh, I didn't know that was a big deal." Then he started to look at my nails, actually.
When you say Damien, do you mean Damien Meyer?
Yes, Damien Meyer was there.
How long have you known him?
I would say since I started jiu-jitsu for 20 years, but you have to bear in mind that, like, he was, like, you know, a high-level athlete. Like, he was busy. He was there already. He was really kind to give me lifts back and forwards, like, when I finished training or before training. But like I think our friendship grew after like I have moved to the Europe, you know, built the gym where I am. Then he knew that like I was a hard worker. And then our relationship got like kind of like really narrow and strong.
Once in a seminar, Damien Meyer told an interesting story about you. Is that when someone told him, "Oh, my Shinya is now in London and he has a gym, he has a business, he's very serious guy." He was like, "I can't believe jiu-jitsu really does change lives."
Ah, yeah, like he didn't used to live in the house where my professor, Leo Negão, Leozinho, Tererê, sometimes Comprido, most of the top guys in jiu-jitsu from Alias that came from Rio used to stay there. And he used to hang around there, and like me and my other friend, Danado, Fabio. Danado not so much, I think it was more me. I always used to do really, really dodgy business, such as, like, you know, steal electricity for, like, the neighbor, like, you know, steal, like, the landline from the other guys, you know, like, to provide to them so then I could, like, you know, be hanging out with them, or, like, to be able to, like, to train with them or see them train, or to even, to, like, to afford my fee to the gym. You know, I used to do some, like, you know, dodgy business to be able to keep up with jiu-jitsu. And the Demi was just like, "How you do that?" I said, "Ah, Demi, man, the guy has to do what he has to do." That's why he said that.
One thing that you often talk about is that you take your past life, your past experience, and you bring it to the mats. Is that another example of that mentality?
Yeah, like, you know, it's easy to think. I think I spoke to you today. Like, it's easy to see how things are today. Like, if you look in the... "Oh, we in tier 4, you know, what we're gonna do?" We look into the future, measure from today, but like you don't see like 2020, despite of like being like a hard year, fucked up year, like it have like really good moments. And I like to go back in the past, see like where I came from, like when I used to live with my mom, when I have like, you know, the rats run over me, you know, when like I have like all the struggles in the football pitch and need to run off the police, you know, hides. When I was like going to the shop, like the other hooligans came after me. So like I like to look in the past and I say, "Man, I went through some really, really hardcore shit and I made up to here." So, man, this can hurt me. So like relate to like David Goggins, like, nah, I like to look back a lot sometimes to get the answer for the present and in plan for the future.
Before you mentioned hooligans and your past, how is your past, if you could explain it to someone who doesn't know, and how did you make that a change from where you were to today?
My past, like, man, I sold, I think my first ever job was trying to sell Bible door to door. Didn't go well because like I realized that point that I was too honest, and like if I want to survive I got to lie. So when I started moving to sell some other stuff, like I was lying a lot to be able to sell. It starts like magazine, you know, subscription of something, you know, like we have something in Brazil called consórcio. I don't know how it can translate in English, but it's pretty much like I used to sell a car to someone, but pay installments. And I would say, "Look, if you pay 2 or 3 installments, you're going to get the car." What was a lie, you know, like he could get the car eventually. At the end of that, like a storeman, that'd be like 150 times, depending how much they split. But I used to guarantee they'd get after third or fourth payments. And the little lies here, little lies that, and then like I realized that like, oh, lying is kind of a easy path. So if I lie, I might be able to achieve things. That led me to like cheat in the school, get jobs. You know, like, you know, I cheat kind of a lot. I lied kind of a lot. at some point in the life, I remember my mom, she was just like watching. I remember her, like, she's stroking her shin and just looking, shaking her head. And she still provided and say, why keep lying? And I say, what do you mean? I say, I know you're lying. You're not going to give anything. And a lie has short legs, as you say in Portuguese. At some point, everybody going to know who you truly are. And then you're going to feel really, really disappointed. And I'm not going to be there to help you. And it's like, I think it's the penny dropped on the stage when you used to go to watch football games. Before I used to like say, nah, man, like I can fight 2-3 people, you know, I'm a tough guy or this and that. One day they put him there to fight 2-3 people and like I got like beaten up badly. So then when the mask came down and like all those lies, all those things came down and I realized, man, I have to be honest, at least with me and then with everybody else. I think that was like the when the change happened. And then I would say that like I haven't stopped lying. I made the lies really small. Let's say that I kept lying, but not as much as before. And then I could see like things start changing my life. I didn't have the knowledge or the maturity that I have now, but I could see that like if I face my fears, if I be honest, at least myself, I could see results. I think that was like the point.
Coach, you once mentioned this idea that you strive to tell the truth or at least not lie. And it's like you've come a long way with that, and you really go out of your way to even I don't know, like if you remember sharing this with us, and how do you do this?
It's pretty much like it does. You sound like familiar to any David Goggins podcast, but I think I've been doing it before. It's just like I've sometimes like maybe you. Or people that listen, sometimes you do things without know that you're doing something right or wrong. Like you're doing something, like so many times, like, you know, Kavaka, for example, he said, or Lucas Leitz, you know, all these top guys that came to the gym and say, man, I learned a lot from you. And I say, man, really, I was like, just copying what you guys do it, you know, just was following you. So like, I feel like I was copying and paste, and you say that, like, using what I'm doing here to change things at yours. So like, I didn't have like a way to describe. And now I think I was like, look to the mirror. I remember clearly at my youth age, I used to look to the mirror and see who I was and who I tried to be. And or even like, you know, when I used to do boxing and I used to see like, you know, Rocky or any other movie, it was like shadow boxing with nonsense, but I was there. I knew I was doing something wrong. And the reflection was telling me, man, like, go find knowledge, go learn. You can the reflection, I mean, I know you want to do it, but doing anything wrong. So like, try to learn properly, don't lie to yourself, face it. And plus, like, all the struggles that like I've been through in my life, and especially with my mom, then I said, man, I have to stop. Like, you know, I have to, and I need to be somebody at the point that I got the gym. I can't lie, you know, like being there, I have the black belt, I let my belly grow, you know, shouting, screaming, you know. What type of guy I want to be, you know? It's not just like for the students, like, who the fuck want to be, like, you know, I don't want to be fat. I've never been fat. So, man, I didn't box for like 5 years. And I've been called to like to be a spar partner for like, you know, world champions, top level, you know. I've been invited to go to other countries. So like, I knew how I was physically. How can I let myself go so bad, so down? There's not jiu-jitsu, there's not life. So I said, man, like, stop, like, first thing, like, stop lying, man, stop pretending, assume who you are. I'm pretty sure that, like, people are going to appreciate you more if you just say, guys, look, I'm a fucking liar, no, all that I did was, like, you know, was pretending or using, be who you are and fuck it, whoever like, who doesn't like, stay. So at least you know, whoever stay, they like the way that you all appreciate, you understand. You, without, I understand myself. I still try to learn who I am and describe, like, in good words. But, like, the mirror, I think, was, like, when I heard David Goggins mention about the mirror, and it, like, clicked. It drove me back, like, when I was 15, 17, or even when I left the army. Then I said, man, that was me looking to try to achieve something, but I didn't have a clue. I just was going with my guts, walking, like, on the Bible, say, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I should fear no evil. So like I was walking, doing the right thing, but like not be able to describe how it worked. I think now I know how to describe and explain to someone.
Coach, you briefly mentioned there, like when you're in the gym shouting and screaming. I think the majority of people that listen to this know you and kind of know your personality. I remember during lockdown, I think it was a call with Teta where you said you run your gym old school, and so does Teta. Where do you think that comes from, and do you think about like the way that you come across in the gym, or is it just purely who you are?
No, it's personality.
Yeah,
it's definitely who I am. Like I said to you and to you, or maybe said to Iki, like there's a lot of podcasts out there, like, you know, people that speak really truly, speak the truth, like, you know, really mention it, or even about like jiu-jitsu, you know, there are a lot of good instructors, good professionals out there, but you always gonna click, you're gonna like follow one person, like I left Czech Mats and has like one of the best leaders, like, you know, Leo Zins, like, you know, he has achieved so much things, so he's a great coach. If you look at like the achievement that Czech Mats has, you know, like the fight that he provides, how he coached, the knowledge, the vision. And like I've been following Cyborg for a long time, but like I like Cyborg not because like the way that he who he is, like I really see myself like him, like, you know, personality, you know, the way that he speak. I would say that like I swear more than him. My old school is more old school than his old school, but like I like the guy, and Teta is pretty much like me. Like he shouts, has like the old school mentality. He doesn't go extreme. I think I go extreme because the way that I've been brought up, to be the only son, to be like every time someone like, man, I have to do something, I need to move, or goes back to honestly, like, I need to lie, I need to be like acting, or need to push, or I know that like if I be sitting on my ass, nothing will happen, nobody gonna come to help me. So like maybe if you put all that together, then make like who I am. But like it's kind of unique, and like when I look behind, that's one of the few things that I'm proud of, like to be the way that I am.
You've spoken as well about people who come into the gym and step on the on the mat with their shoes on, or don't know how to behave. You said something to me once, which was like, you should know how to behave. Where does that come from?
Jesus life, man. Jesus life, come on. It's like whoever come and say like, oh, you should be respect, should be polite. There's something that sometimes me and Cyborg like going on about. Like he say like nobody knows. Like we should give the first introduction or like show the way. I say yeah, cool. That makes sense, but not for me. You know, if I'm going to a church, any church, if I go like to a mosque, you know, like I must know where I'm putting my foot on and know how to behave, or at least ask what I'm not supposed to do. Please tell me what I'm not supposed to do. Everything else, I figure out. I cannot like be hold people's hand, you know, throwing flowers, petal flowers, you know, licking the ass, you know. No, it's not me. You know, I don't want to be selling fucking membership or licking anybody ass to stay. If you fucking stay, we stay. If you don't stay, thank you, fuck off. Not in the bad way, but like, you know, you have your life, I have my life, I'm busy. I have people that like, you know, not rely on me, but like they expect me to do change, at least make them better today than yesterday. So I'm not going to be fucking lick anybody else. Fuck you, fuck them. I don't care.
Coach, you know, one thing that's really interesting is throughout your life, these are skills that you had to learn. Like you had to learn how to tell the truth. You had to learn, for example, how to speak English when you first came here and you didn't know a word. What made you leave Brazil? How did you get here, and how did you went from being in Brazil to be sitting with us today?
All right. So
in my bedroom.
So like, keep it up, I might miss something. So let's start what made me come here. So I have this friend that used to hang out with me like on the roads that I used to live. And he came to the UK before than me, 2-3 years before. And we both are broke. When I say broke, it's broke. No money for nothing. Zero. Fuck all. And on his holiday trip to Brazil, he used to splash, pay for everything, you know, even give him money to like to buy like, you know, things for if I want to. And he would say, hey, man, coming over. And I said, ah, no, fuck that shit. One day, I think my mom used to work like in 3 jobs, and she used to work in the bus station. And that specific bus station has 175 steps. Keep this number, you're never going to forget. You can ask me in 10 years time, I'm never going to forget, 175 steps. And she was cleaning that fucking step by step. and the people make chewing gums, you know, all sorts of stuff, and she has to clean it over and over and over. And we had a single bed, and I used to sleep in that bed, and she goes to the floor. That day I say, man, fuck that shit. 27 years old, I must do something. Stop lying to my mom. Stop lying to myself, you know. And then I call him up, say, bro, look, if the office too on, I won't come. He say, yeah, when you want to come? I say, man, can I come like 10 days, 20 days? Tell me how much I need to have. And bear in mind, I didn't have any fuck all money. I was relying on my mom, and my mom was a cleaner. So if you like, a cleaner doesn't good money here, go back to Brazil 20 years ago. So like, start making the maths. How like she used to feed me. So we had like a checkbook. I had a checkbook on my own. So what I did, I start buy stuff for friends. Television, microwave, wash machine, anything that was like, could give me like a good money, that wouldn't turn out, I would buy. So I go to the shop, and in Brazil, on that time, we had like outstones. I give like 2-3 checkbooks, you know, and then like they do installments. And great, so like whatever was worth like £100, I would sell for 50, 1,000, half price, cash in hands. Bought my ticket to London, BA, straight flight, great. I made like extra $2,000 to bring over. And like $2,000 in Brazil, 20 years ago, I was a fucking king. If I go out $2,000, man, I have no idea how well treated I would be. I would go to like the best place ever. So a night before my flights, I call my friend and he said, look, man, deal is over. I'm not going to be able to have you up my place. I'm not going to find a job. So like, don't come. I'm going to waste your time. I say, bro, you not understand, man. I use my checkbook with people that like, they don't want the money back. They won't see me hang upside down. If you ever seen like that film Gladiator, when he goes home and you see like the wife, the child, you know, hang upside down, cut, that was going to happen for me. I said, man, I have to go. It's like, if I stay, I'm not gonna leave. So I said, bro, you're on your own, I'm not gonna do anything. So I came regardless, without speak the language, anything. And the Leonegão again, he said like, let us, hey, machine, when you go there, you know, double leg, you know, run, go to the street, you know, jiu-jitsu. Since those time, he told him about jiu-jitsu. So I took the flights straight to London, didn't eat anything, didn't drink anything because I was so shy, you know, so like, I didn't want like, you know, rising expectation. Went to the immigration officer, she started asking me questions, no idea, just go like, you know, roller coaster, talking about London Eye, you know, roller coaster, you know. She said, man, this guy's fucking crazy, roller coaster. Then I find out what roller coaster means. So she let me in, and I said, cool, I made through, so now what? So took my bag, walk in Gatwick, was kind of gray. I took, put my bag, walk up and down, said, man, it's too cold, come back to the lounge. Was there for a while, and then I saw this Brazilian guy, you know, screaming, shouting, cursing. And I said, what's up, bro? And he said, man, fuck, this immigration officer hold me up so long, I missed my shot. So I got like a reservation, and someone was meant to pick me up. I think they gone, and now I'm fucked, I'm screwed. I said, well, welcome, I'm screwed too. And they said, I have like a 1 week paid in the hotel in Holborn. And I said, ah, man, you're better than me. I have fuck up. You're going to sleep in the airport, you know? And I said, ah, let's go. Come with me. Let's sit together. Then, like, we took a cab at Gatwick. So, like, I said, live with me, you know? Like, I'm going to stay with you. Not going to pay the hotel. I paid the cab. And I show like, $100 bill to the driver. And he said, no dollar. Change. And then he started point, you know, to one place. Change. So I saw that group of guys, I think it's all 4 or 5 guys. And then I said, okay, need to pay. So like the boss, yes, the boss called change. Cool. So I paid the boss gave me a ticket. Say, yeah, cool, all right. So how am I going to say to the guys I want to pay? So like I came close and like just start shout, change. So the guys start looking to each other, what the fuck? When one guy speaks Spanish, and say, no, change means cambio. You need to change right behind the cambios. Oh, fuck, okay. So I changed the dollar for pounds, paid the guy, he dropped us in the hotel, we stayed there, like, you know, we learned how to say, like, I'm looking for a job, do you have a job for me, those type of stuff, but that was it. And then there is, of course, a follow-up. When you ask a question, there is an answer, you know. And people like answer our question and we have no clue. They like just like shy, laugh and run away, say, ah, fuck, we screw. Final day, like we say, bro, let's go. You go north, I go south. Let's see what's happening because like we're not going to have the hotel for long. Say, yeah, cool, man. Then like I went to Oxford Street. They have this Brazilian restaurant called Feijão do Luiz or Luiz Beans. And I was eating feijoada. There's a really heavy meal, and they like fills up. Just think, bro, today's my last day. I'm gonna sleep in the streets. Should I go back? You know, like can't sleep in the street. And then I was thinking, like instead go to São Paulo, maybe I go to Rio because like Carson Gracie, Grandmaster Carson Gracie was doing like a MMA Vale Tudo show called Heroes. And I said, man, I'm sure I can like you know I can get there for my boxing skill. I'm sure I can get there. 5,000 real on that time, you know, can stay in Rio, I still have some money, so yeah, I think I can do okay, and the fuck São Paulo, and then that's it. That was my plan, and then out of the blue, I have my back turned to the entrance, I usually don't do that, and I heard someone say, Manchinha, it's not me, man, I'm not having 1 week in London, Manchinha, maybe somebody else, Manchinha, and I kept eating, thinking, went back to Brazil, MMA, Manchinha! Then just hand on my shoulder. And I turn around, who I see? A fellow friend that used to be a hooligan with me, that used to do boxing at the same time, but in other school, was here. And his nickname Jedi. Keep this name, I think I'm gonna talk about him further along. Say, Jedi, I was so happy to see him, you know, like I stood up, gave him a hug, and he started calling names, you know. And I say, hey, bro, what's going on? That's me, you know me, you know who I am, you know. Don't call me those names, you know, that I get kind of cross, you know. And he started like curse every single one in the restaurant. Everybody started looking at him and I saw the look on their eyes. And again, go relate to like to David Goggins. I remember clearly when he was shouting at everyone, he was taking their soul. Because like anybody else would react. But he was so confident shouting, point his finger to everyone and like no one say anything. They even was were looking down saying, man, this guy's taking those guys' souls, like you know. But then the Jedi was like, you know, kinda like in the hooligan ground. He was like, you know, he could hold his own. I said, ah cool, like you know, I start to let okay, those guys are kinda enemies, so okay, start going like in the hooligan mode, okay, we're gonna fight, so pick the chair, could look for like a knife or something, you know, okay, cool. Then he took me outside and said, man, this place is a place full of rats. Those guys just want your money. They're going to fuck you up, this and that, blah, 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 blah. I said, cool. To Jedi, what's happened? He said, man, I'm going to help you out. You come with me. I said, Jedi, what about the guy that helped me? I said, look, I'm going to say once and once only. You come with me now or you're on your own. So what do you want to be? I said, can I get my shoes and my bag at least? So when the hotel got my bag, said to the guy that helped me, say, bro, that's what's happening, but unfortunately, I cannot help the same way that you help him. I said, nah, don't worry, man, go ahead. That's life, good luck. And never saw this guy ever again, ever since then, Jedi been helping me. And the one thing that I would say, like, I didn't know, like, I turned religious in 2010 when my first daughter born. Again, like, I think I was, like, blessed, or, like, someone was, like, looking after me, or, like, some sort of, like, you know, power or it was meant to be, say related with whatever want to be, but like God exists or like an angel exists, like it's no possible for the way that started in the UK until now. I say that like you know everything fell in the sky for me. If even if it did, it's because it was meant to be, and like there is a power above all of us that like is being managed, like everything. To the time that like when I start to learn English is related to Helen. Helen's like my business partner at the London Fight Factory. When I review something kind of personal between us, she used to be my wife. And I met her through a bar that used to work in Holborn. So I couldn't speak much English. I was speaking enough to be a glass collector and she was like a bartender. So like I have to get like a dictionary and the point like keywords like you know date, go out, things like that, and then she starts going out with me. So like then she starts helping to build up sentence. Then like she helped me to speak like a little English. Then enroll myself in the school. My student visa kind of like was run out and you got married, like she keep me helping, like, you know, throughout like the time that you got married. And fortunately, things didn't work out well in terms of a husband and wife relationship, but we still are like a good friends, and she's my part in the gym, so like we're still together since we met. So I think I know Helen for pretty much 18 or 17 years, you know, more longer than the time that we run the gym. So she can like help me a lot to learn English, and then like eventually I got where I am, you know, like it's not great, but like I got the invitation to talk in the podcast, so like, hey, you know, it's a win-win at the end.
It's all come right in the end, yeah. For you, Coach.
Wow.
Was there, I'm going to assume that when you landed in the UK, the thought of making jiu-jitsu your full-time job wasn't really on the cards.
Only, I was a white belt. It's not even a white belt, because I don't think I could do the knot on my belt properly. Jiu-jitsu didn't ever exist in my head. I don't think I even brought my gi. I didn't have a gi or belt or anything when I came to the UK. I was literally coming here to work as anything that I could ever possibly do it for one year and a half and go back to Brazil to buy a car and a mobile phone, a StarTAC. If anybody's like, you know, young, Google, StarTAC, Motorola, you're gonna see what I was after. And a car that cost like maybe £1,000, you know. That was my goal. Jiu-Jitsu, no man. You have like this guy called Shane Moraes. He was the only guy cheating that time in London Bridge. He had like a brown belt helping him, Eder Chagas. And then that was it. After, I can start name, but I'm probably gonna forget. But like Roger Brooklyn, Roger Gracie, Braulio, Victor Stima, and if I miss somebody, like, you know, but like Mauricio, Roger's dad. I came here before all of them. I know how they start, like Eduardo Carrilheiro, that's in Gracie Barra Oval, Ronaldo Campos. Man, I can like, you know, put names down. Wilson Jr. that run Carson Grace, you know, like Carson, like wasn't to be Carson. Luca Minguette that starts Carson Grace, then come like Dick Martin and Simon. Man, like, you know, we always start pretty much together. Tournaments like, you know, London Open that you guys go now with IBJJF, Nice Medal, Is a Beautiful Lady Call Your Name. That's bullshit, man. Before was like, you know, someone shouting, Luiz Vieira, Machinha, by nickname, you know, like, it was pretty much like back in the days in Brazil, man, like the old school. It's nothing like us today. No, I lived, like, you know, the old school jiu-jitsu in the UK, and like, I saw it growing, and I helped to grow as well. But, like, at some point, even Leo, when I call Leo and Leozinho, my day three or day four here in the UK, when I went to train Shane Moraes, I thought, like, what caught my attention was, like, when it came to the sparring, he put people, like, back to back, and it was like, one, two, three, and go. Then face each other and roll. I said, man, like, I learned the way that, like, you start on your knees and standing up. No fucking rubbing my back to other guys' back, you know? Then I call guys, look, don't be rude, but, like, I've been training for this guy, and he asked me to do like this, and tell me his credential. Then I said, no, then Leo again, Mashiach. Hazel Grace is in New York. Hazel Grace has like maybe 3-4 stripes. How come this guy has 7 stripes? this guy's a liar. Said, no, look, the guy's a black belt, bro. Guillotine him. Guillotine. I told guillotine. Guillotine him. Guillotine him. Go guillotine him. I said, I'm not going to do that. But now, jiu-jitsu, what? Man, jiu-jitsu. Nobody knew jiu-jitsu. 2-3 people knew jiu-jitsu at that time.
Did you start training jiu-jitsu as soon as you landed, or was there a gap between?
No, I start like, I would say like 2 weeks, and then I start. So like, I used to do weights kind of a lot, and like, you know, academy, you know, for us in Brazil, when you're going to do weights, I go to the academy, or jiu-jitsu, go to academy. So once that Jedi put me up in his place, I start to look in the internet, well, I don't remember if it was the internet, I think it has like EasyJet or EasyJet has like, you know, spots when you can use internet. And it was, look, you know, academy. And then like there is a place in Regent Street, so off Regent Street, it's Academy of Arts. But the stupid guy here thought academic was like a gym, you know, where like weights. So like, I put like, you know, a short sleeve rock guard, you know, t-shirt, shorts, start walking in, you know, and look, man, this place kind of fancy, like art, and I say, where's the weight? And the security said, no, this Academy of Arts, you know, frames, you know, paint, oh Jesus, that's all. Man, it's gonna be fun.
So then you start training. What's the journey then between white belt training in London under Shen to I guess when you started LFF in Brick Lane?
Ah man, white belt. Okay, Leo Negão again. I'm gonna talk about Jiu Jitsu a lot.
So Leo Negão was your first teacher?
Yeah, Leo Negão is my first ever contact to Jiu Jitsu whatsoever. And Leo Negão, where was Leo Negão? I think Leo Negão was here in Sweden, because when he left Brazil to the UK, he left straight after to Sweden. Now I just don't remember if he was in Brazil or in Sweden. Anyway, so I started training for Chen and Eder as a white belt. Then like Leo came over just to see the UK. You have it, or Chen made a competition. Yes, Chen did a competition somewhere near to Notting Hill. I forgot the name, need to see the pictures that I have from those time. And Leo came and then brought his students. As usual, his students, like, you know, wipe everybody else's ass. And then we went out, and then Leo said, ah, look, come over to Sweden with me. And then I went, because I like, life there's better. So I said to Jedi, look, Jedi, I appreciate the help, but like, he's my professor, I know him. And I go there. So like, I went to his academy, was training a little bit there, but like, was too cold, no job. I was just spending money. He was working, you know. I was earning like £70 per week, paying my rent, paying my bus pass, send money to Brazil. And I remember still have like, you know, enough to have a couple of pints during the weekend. And I was happy as fuck, earning 70 quid per week, working 6 days a week. And I said, okay, let me come back. So I came back, and then like, I didn't realize that I'm gonna have to face immigration again. The same problem that I could face when I came first time, I was going to save again. I said, fuck man, if the guy don't allow me to get in, so I'm gonna have to come back to Sweden. I say, yeah, you're gonna have to come back to Sweden. Shit, so I have a lot to lose. I said, okay, cool, I go. So I came through, I have like my boxing gloves, on, you know, like on my bag, you know, Leo gave me a couple of medals, like, you know, again, I couldn't speak in English, so the guy started asking a lot of questions, so I put my boxing gloves on top of the desk, the medals, and just said, training, fighter, the old man, like, so if I go, and I pass, and then I call Leo, say, hey, Leo, everything okay, I pass, so like, I'm in the UK already, and then he said, okay, now we're gonna live by jiu-jitsu, see what I mean, you can have your blue belt in jiu-jitsu. Say, what are you talking about, Leo? No, you're gonna teach jiu-jitsu. You casca grossa. Young guys, Google casca grossa, not gonna make any sense, but casca grossa kind of like tough guy, or like, you know, don't give a shit, whatever. Google. So, man, Leo, you're crazy. But, man, like, you got to look at, like, didn't exist any blue belt at that time. You
know? What year is this?
2001, the latest. And, I got like 10, man, I'm gonna be the first blue belt here. So I put the blue belt on, you know, like without getting ready. I say, boom. Then I walk the jiu-jitsu class, you know, that shiny blue belt. And everybody like in the movie, you know, everybody like look at you, oh, wow. You know, if it was today, they think they're gonna get the phone. Look, there is a blue belt in the class. Gonna call the mom, oh, it's a Brazilian, he's a blue belt. So now I was feel like, man, it's fucking awesome. But again, let's go back to what I said, like, I was lying again. No, again, I seem lying. But like, that lie's kind of different, you know, because like, I think Leo saw something on me, or like I said, he saw the potential of jiu-jitsu, and they said, be a blue belt. And I, okay, put the blue belt on, and that was good for a short period of time. As like Roger Brooklyn started to come from Alliance, then like, you know, Roger, I think he came as a brown belt, but like his dad was already here. Jude Samuel was or training or cheating. So like, you have some decent like UK blue belt at that time, that clearly they walk over me, clearly. But like competition wasn't that often, so we didn't meet, but like, you know, word by the mouth used to run through. And then like, okay, at some point, like I kept training, I think I made myself like a decent blue belt. Until, guess what? Until Leo decided to come to London again. I don't remember why he came. I was training with Wilson. under Carson Grace. And under Wilson, above Wilson, was Nelson Solari, a really old school Carson Grace guy, you know, Uruguayan judo team, tough as fuck. You know, man, the guy was a machine. He trained 24/7, fell out too. And when Leo came, I don't remember. Like, man, I remember. We went to the tournament in Deptford, I think. I don't remember the name of the tournament. What I did was, the Gracie Barra guys, they came in a van, in a big van. Not a big van, like a 6 seats or 8 seats. I flat all the tires out, literally all. And the tournament finished really late, around 10 o'clock. So, like, we left, you know, in our cars, training or this and that, and all the guys were, like, you know, pissed off. And Leo knew was me, you know, because they said, Leo, I did something really crazy. And Leo said, yeah. So, like, Leo gave me the purple belt because I put the tires of that van down. And, like, again, then I go back to, like, the same feeling to the blue belt, you know, like, I said, fuck, I was, like, one of the few purple belts in the UK. And then all the Brazilians came, like, all the purple belt Brazilians came. So, like, I just wanted, like, be a Brazilian. And they were purple, so I want to be purple, so lying again, so fuck, who cares, but at least, like, you know. And then, like, Nelson got really cross, and, like, shouldn't accept the belt for that. So I didn't know, like, how things work in jiu-jitsu. I got educated in the tough and the wrong way, how things work, like, you know, in jiu-jitsu, and, like, hierarchy. And he kicked me out from Carson. And I didn't want to put Wills in a bad spot as well, so no, I accept, like, you know. As you said, I took as a man. So, okay, cool, I'm out. And then I start representing TT. So I start teaching jiu-jitsu in Brixton. Then I think that was like when I was going to start LFF. But then we're going back like 2004, 2005, when I first did my class in Brixton representing TT. Timeline, I don't remember everything like exact, but that's more or less how I start from white to purple.
Wow, and then from purple you went on teaching for London Fight Factory.
I was teaching purple belt in the TT, and then TT kind of like not evaporate, like they closed down, and then like most of the guys they joined Brazza, and I met this guy Rodrigo Cabral Brucutu, and he was a brown belt, but really, really good. Now, Brucutu is other level, man. Like, you know, you got to, like, Google and follow him and see, like, he's other level. He's really tough. And, like, he was under Leozinho, so he was representing Braz at that time. And then when I opened the gym in Brick Lane, I knew that, like, I couldn't, like, just be watching VHS videos and cheating. Jiu-Jitsu was starting to get popular, so like my mask gonna drop. I need to have someone to rely on with. So I called Rodrigo to teach the class at Brick Lane, and he already had some students. So he brought, so it helped like with the income as well. So he was the main coach, and I was like, you know, kind of like, you know, teaching just like beginners or any type of thing. At some point, Ricardo Vieira came over to give Rodrigo and Eduardo Azevedo. Eduardo is a good friend of Brucutu. Brucutu brought him over to help to teach the class and to build up a competition team. So I think Ricardo came over to give Eduardo and Rodrigo the black belt, and eventually got my brown, something on those lines. And then I started moving up in the rank. Unfortunately, Rodrigo has to move back from the UK. Eduardo left for family problem. Like, unfortunately, Eduardo lost his brother in a really, really bad way. And so Eduardo has to go back to Brazil. So got to the point that, like, I was the only guy there. Like, it was like, oh, fuck. So everybody started looking at me, okay, bro, like, there's your gym. So the main coach's gone. So, like, cool. So we're going to run the show, right? And I wasn't ready to do that. But, like I said, man, I can't, like, you know, fail. I can't let these people down. I carry on. Marco Canha came maybe not too long of that, and he was already a black belt under Ricardinho. I think in 2010, Ricardo was in Europe doing a tour of seminar, and he was in Sweden. But what's happened is, I think Iceland, a Vulcan went in an eruption, and like it fucked up all the internal flights in Europe. And Ricardo could come over to London, and he was coming to give my black belt. So he sent an email to Kanye and asked Kanye to give the black belt on his behalf. So like if you look at all my belts that I got, all my belts like was fucked up. I think just my brown belt is the belt that I earned from like someone that like, you know, regardless of the circumstance he gave me. And like so Kanye gave me the black belt on behalf of Ricardo, but Ricardo never actually tied the belt on my waist as Teriré once he did when he came to the LFF one of his trips. So look, I know for a long time, you know, that's true. I know Teriré like when he was a brown belt, not in a black belt, and he knew about my story. He knew like pretty much everything that I said so far, and he said, "I have like my student. I'm gonna take responsibility. I'm gonna tie the black belt around you." So again, like my story gets really messed up, really confused. So like, who is a coach? Who is a professor? Who is like your master? So I have like a lot of people that like help me to be where I am. So I cannot like point to one person. I can say that like Cyborg has a big influence on who I am today. Teriré, like whenever time I tied my belt, like I do remember the day when he did it out of the blue. Teriré didn't have to do that. He doesn't have to like to please me or to help me or any bullshit like that. You could see that he did like, you know, because he wants to, because he felt like, and because like who he is, you know, like he said, man, I am like, you know, who I am in the sport, and if I'm doing, nobody gonna say anything. He said, man, that's cool. Like, you know, like if it happened today, I'd probably be in tears. So oh, thank you, you know, like it's really mean a lot, but like, you know, that's pretty much like how I went from white to black.
Was there a moment where you didn't feel like you felt like you were that belt? Because I guess what you're saying there is blue, like maybe not, purple, maybe not. Was it brown that you thought, yeah, I'm a brown belt, or black belt? Like, when did you feel like you weren't lying anymore?
When I got like my fourth stripe of my purple belt.
Yeah.
That was like, okay, now I can hold my own. Like until then, like, you know, Rodrigo used to give stripes kind of lots. Like, I remember once that like, I agree. And like, I say it with like no regret, no shame, because I know it happened with my students and it might happen like in the future. I remember in one grade, he didn't give me anything. He didn't give me a stripe or anything. So I call him outside and say, bro, what's going on? Why didn't give me like a stripe or anything? You know, I feel like I'm not part of the team, you know, like, you know, the struggle, this and that. So look, not give because like, I don't think you deserve, you know. And it is what it is. And I got really cross, even thought to sack him. And then I said, ah, fuck, no, let me swell my fucking pride and ego and just keep training. You know, it. And, like, you know what, I'm going to prove to this motherfucker that, like, I'm better than his, like, you know, the people that he like. Not say that he had, like, the people that he like, but the guys that got something and I didn't, I went hard on them. But when I say hard, like, you know, it's, like, even harder than if I say I go hard. Now I went next level hard. One of the guys, like, were rolling, and, like, he has the body type that give him problem the most. It's kind of lanky with long legs. Say, man, I'm going to go walk inside you. I knee him on the face, on the mouth, and he was wearing, like, braces. And his mouth started bleeding, and I kept going. He stopped, and I kept going. And Rodrigo said, hey, he's bleeding. I said, I don't care, let's go. And the guy said, man, like, I need to wash my mouth. I said, fuck, I don't care. You got a stripe, I did, let's go. And then Rodrigo said, man, you fucked up. Okay, give this try. And then on that day, I realized, okay, I can hold my own. Like, I started to feel that I wasn't a liar. Man, like, thinking the gap of 24 hours, I managed to suck in so much, like, absorb and look to the mirror again and say, man, all the words that my mom said, everything that I said in the beginning of this podcast thing came at once. And again, I'm going to relate to David Gagnon, like, man, said, stop fucking lying. Put your fucking shit together and a fucking fight. It's a fight. It's not like, you know, a demonstration. It's a fucking fight. Yeah, purple belt was like a fourth stripe purple belt was the day. And I said, cool, I am real.
Yeah.
Coach, you also told us that there was a time that was very hard for you to find jiu-jitsu. Once you made the commitment, yeah, I'm going to train. And you found a school under a building. Remember... Is that right?
With some pipes running across
the exactly.
No, that was like Eder Chagas. He was Okay, I'm going to try to make the story clear and simple. So Luca Mingatti was a guy that used to rent a lot of properties back on those times. So like he had like, you know, not a lot, but he had like really key good properties for rents. And that property specifically like in Royal Oak, the hotel, that he turned into like what you guys know as an Airbnb, and those times would be like just a hostel. Has like this basement where he store like, you know, all sort of crap that can ever imagine. And like Ed has like this jigsaw mess, like green and yellow. And he was cheating there like 4, 5 guys, 6, 7 the most, you know. And I was one of them. And it was there like, you know, was maybe like a Wednesday evening. It was kind of late because the classes happen late, 8 to 9 or 9 to 10 or even 10 to 11. Really late in the night. So we're there like, you know, usual day, running around, you know, facing in, facing out, knees up, OGs and that, you know, kind of not really cold, but like winter was start to knock the door. Out of the blue, pow, one of the pipes broke, blow, and it was like a regular pipe, was like the pipe the way, so like shit start like drop from the ceiling. So I looked to Eder's faces, I looked to the guys, shit on the mats. I just think like, you know what, this guy cannot lose customers. So I took my top off, start like, you know, hold all the shit that was coming, you know, when it stopped, I wrapped my top on the side, took my trousers down, wiped the shit on the mats, and I said, Eder, carry on the class. I don't speak, carry on the class, turn the mats upside down, but like the show must carry on. If you lose the spot, I'm gonna not gonna have jiu-jitsu to train, man. I need this shit, please, carry on.
Wow, it's that's quite a remarkable moment.
Luca had like a good connection in a hotel in Earthcourt. You know, anybody that like is making up to this point, he's special old school guy. Like, you know, in Earthcourt, I think when Carson Grace has born. And man, like, I don't know how Luca, but this hotel was kind of like, I would say it was 3 to 4 stars. Good hotel. And right on the back would be, I would describe like a conference room nowadays, you know, or the bar, whatever, you know. He managed to like, you know, to pull up like a gym. Like we put like the mats, we put like, you know, a cover on it. And you literally kick the shit out of each other, you know, like Wilson's warm up was like jab, cross, prof, like an hour and a half, one technique, and then more an hour and a half sparring. And we like, whoa, you know. Skin infection, ringworm on those times, fuck, we don't care. Mm. It was like trophies, you know. You see hair, you see like, you know, everything that you can ever imagine on the mat. Like, in terms of cleanness, forget it. Nobody clean the mat, nobody do anything. Walk with your shoes on the mat, anything goes. On those times, anything goes. And that was jiu-jitsu, you know. And whoever knew jiu-jitsu on those times, fuck it, I accept, I take it. And when I see, like, you know, guys coming and asking, like, oh, do you have showers in your facility? Have you got, like, a hairdress, a hair dryer? Say, man, you don't want to train. Let's be honest. You're here just, like, you know, because it's, like, trained, but you don't want to train. Because if you don't train, you don't care about those things. You're there for training, and then that's it.
Is that, like, the biggest change you've seen in jiu-jitsu?
What do you mean, like, be trendy? Or be, like, like, not pussy, but like, you know, oh, I need a shower, I need juice. Ah, man, like, you know, even back in the day, like, you have gyms back in the day that offer, like, you know, a nice facility. Of course, who doesn't want to fly first class, you know? Yeah. Who doesn't like sleep in the big bed? Everybody does, you know? Of course, you're going to come across those guys that has really tough mentality that, like, they like the feeling of sofa. They like to be, like, you know, really uncomfortable, to give the motivation, to give the power, to give the extra. But okay, they are minority. Everybody wants to have like, I like to go in the gym that like I'm gonna have like, oh cool, they have a toilet just for me or shower just for me, you know, that's kind of cool, like, you know, a mirror can see like, you know, flexing, make me look good, like who doesn't, you know, like, but like shouldn't be the main priority. Like I think the main priority should be like who is teaching you, the backgrounds, the people that are there, and how the energy of the place impact on you. Mm-hmm. If like if those three, you say like that's the place for me, like even if the shit comes from the ceiling, you're gonna wipe, you're gonna keep training, so that would be a problem. But like people are different. Like we talk about 2020, 21st century. I'm talking to when it first came, 2000, like, you know, no social media, you know, like no Google Map, no, a lot of things that we have now, I didn't have on those times, you know, like I used to watch VHS videos for Dan Chita class, De La Riva, Hans Grace, Self-Defense, you know, Art Suave, man, and then goals, you know, list goes on. YouTube didn't even exist on those times, you know, mm-hmm. You know, like you watch YouTube. YouTube generation came like, you know, when Jiu-Jitsu start make some noise in the UK, but like when it came, it didn't exist at all.
Coach, you're talking about the energy of the place and the people that are there. I remember when I first walked into the gym and I walked up to you and I asked you, you know, I want to train Jiu-Jitsu and boxing. You said, man, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, so I do one thing at a time. I don't advise you to do the same. When you're speaking, you're moving your hands, and I couldn't help but see the tattoos in your hands, that in your fingers, that say team work. Mm-hmm. And so far, you've talked about your personal journey. And when did you get in touch with that idea that teamwork is so important?
That's my mom. My mom, like... I remember, like, before I decided to come over, she said, look, I'm the fourth children out of three miscarriage. So, like, it was the last shot, even for her. And, like, when it was, like, seeing, like, my mom and my dad, they have, like, you know, like, most couple, you know, like, disagreements. Not to say that my dad was bad, you know, like, oh, violence with her, like, you know, I don't know, I was too young to know what's really going on, why, like, you know, things get, like, physically or, like, verbal abuse. I don't know why it happened. I cannot just point things at my dad and I said that, like, he did this or, like, no, he did that to my mom. So, like, I don't know, you know. Sometimes, like, you know, woman not saints, like, not, men not saints, woman not saints, like, you're a human being. Like, sometimes, like, you press the trigger and it can work vice versa. But, like, I remember, like, even when I was lying, my mom said, but don't lie. She said, look, I don't want you to be like everybody else. Like, I want to be different. I want to, like, be someone that, like, you know, you do something, like, bigger than I do. But don't be selfish. You need to understand that, like, you're never going to accomplish anything alone. You might be there, but, like, remember that there are people that are going to lift you up. So, like, always look after people. Like, do the good thing regardless for who. Even if, like, you know, you're not going to get anything back, but be always look it like as a whole thing, as a team, you know, like, I couldn't understand, like, what the words, like, when I understand, like, the meaning of team, then I start, oh, fuck, that's what she mean, when it was, like, 10, 12, 13, so, okay, cool, so, like, yeah, that's, like, the team works more, like, it's not, like, a debt, it's not, like, a commitment, okay, maybe commitment, like, a promise, but, like, is to make sure that she's still alive or around at least me when everything happened in the gym, when, like, people coming over, when, like, the team spirit, like, is how I feel close to her, because I can go back on those times and remember she talked to me and, like, fuck, what she's saying, man, what she's saying, ah. And now I know what she means. Then I said, fuck, if I had this knowledge now, I could not, but, like, everything happened for a reason, but, like, yeah, the team works because my mom.
Coach, one of the things you always say is that jiu-jitsu is for everyone. The majority of people that listen to this go to the gym, do jiu-jitsu, but we do actually have a lot of people that don't know jiu-jitsu. How can you describe how you think jiu-jitsu is for everyone?
Ego, né? The ego is, like, the key. Like, if someone doesn't like to be told off, if someone doesn't like to listen that you suck, if someone doesn't like to understand that, like, it's not about you, it's about the team, it definitely is not for you. What will happen is, and I challenge anyone that's listening this and do your research and contact me, you know. I really challenge anybody. You're going to find people that are, like, going to become really good at jiu-jitsu in skills. They're going to open their own school. They're going to, like, you know, say this, say that, but, like, truly, they are not for jiu-jitsu, not for them. They are not jiu-jitsu. They don't represent jiu-jitsu. they might be lying, they might like, you know, trying to be like the best person to get more membership, subscription, or on any sort of, they look at jiu-jitsu as an income. Jiu-jitsu is not income for me. Jiu-jitsu is a way of life. Like, it is not for everyone. As much as they say jiu-jitsu for everyone, it is not. You know, there are jiu-jitsu like something like unique, pure. It's like, you know, you got to understand jiu-jitsu. You got to accept jiu-jitsu as jiu-jitsu is, because jiu-jitsu is gonna put you fucking down. You know, you're gonna have days that are gonna kick everybody's ass, and you're gonna have days that are gonna suck. And if you're not able to understand that, like, jiu-jitsu is doing to you to make you grow, to make you better, it's not for you. There is no, like, no soft talk. There is no, like, no magic words. It's turn up to the fucking gym, put a fucking belt on, put the work, and then that's it. And understand that, like, it's not about you. For you on grow, you have to look around and help others to grow as well. You know, like, there are people that say, like, oh, I'm my path, I'm run to get to my goal, you know, if not with me, sorry, not going to stop what I'm doing to help. That's great, you know, like, I get that, you know. Everybody has their own goal, but, like, if you don't realize that, like, for you be good, you need someone else to be good, otherwise you're going to be jumping from school to the school, sucking information, you know, getting beaten up here, beaten up there, and then, like, going to have a school, like, you're never going to create something that, like, you know, it's gonna spread, you know, like, it's not just like spread the technique, but spread the jiu-jitsu, the vibe, the mentality, the philosophy, you know, what the Grace family did, like, you know, years and years behind. You two might not know, or maybe you know, because you two kind of clever, but, like, jiu-jitsu, martial arts was in the circus, it was like entertainment, you know. So we went from being entertainment to be like a lifestyle, to change people's life, to give a nice concept, you know, to give like hope to people that have no hope, you know. From the moment that they say like jiu-jitsu was for the weak guy to beat the strong guy, this is hope. So like we developed something that like, okay, is unique. Even a fragile woman knows that she can defend herself using jiu-jitsu. And jiu-jitsu like is a combination of a lot of martial arts. There is wrestling involved, there is like, you know, aikido, there is a lot of things. So jiu-jitsu itself is humble. Jiu-jitsu accepts the fact that like we put some other discipline, some other concept, other technique inside jiu-jitsu, and we are who we are today. So like jiu-jitsu is not just like, oh, we are the best. Jiu-jitsu has a lot of things in. We acknowledge that, we humble that, but like we also have like the mentality of like, you know, we need each other to grow. This is jiu-jitsu.
Coach, you know, speaking of ego, one of the things that you mentioned to us once is that at some point you had to tell yourself or come up with a second part of you, like have a conversation with yourself where it's not just you, and you said that you are a crazy motherfucker.
I thought I was going to skip that.
Never. Yeah, you mentioned that you are a crazy motherfucker, and that is Luiz and that is Manchinha. And Luiz and Manchinha got to walk side by side. And yeah. I wonder if you could share something about that, if you could.
Let's see if I can explain that. Like, man, explain. I went to a date the other day and I said to the girl that, like, I'm a crazy motherfucker, man. Fuck, the girl got like.
On the first
date? In the first date. Like, she was sitting pretty close. I couldn't feel the connection in the beginning. As soon as I said I'm a crazy motherfucker, she started like moving, just like in the movies, you know? You know, when the dad came in, the girl started like moving on the sofa. Was just like that. Ah, fuck, no, man. Okay, I'm crazy motherfucker because, like, I will do anything that people say that's crazy. So, that's crazy. And a motherfucker, because I wouldn't give up, I wouldn't like, you know, listen, like, you two probably saw that I've been doing like some crazy types, not challenge, like some stupid things, you know. At the moment I'm doing like 500 bench press per day, and it hurts as a bitch, you know. And everybody said like, you know, don't do it, you're going to get injury, blah, 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 blah. I even got cramps on my wrists, and the reason that I don't stop is because I'm not any one of you. So I won't feel that pain for in the future. That's my personal achievement. Like, you know, I know how it is painful. Nobody know unless you do it. You know, you cannot tell me, oh, yes, I know. No, you don't fucking know. If you never did it, you don't fucking know. Luiz Ribeiro, he is like really cool. You know, Luiz Ribeiro is really cool. Like Luiz Ribeiro has born, I think 2010. Oh, maybe before. Yeah, 2010 when Isabel born. I got my black belt, like, you know, I become more religious, you know, like, start follow Cyborg, like, start feel like, you know, I think Luis Ribeiro wants be exactly like, today, I would say, like, Cyborg, you know, well-spoken, you know, like, you know, really approachable, funny, you know, friendly, all this and that, you know, motivated, oh, yeah, it's okay, cool, it's okay, I think that's Luis Ribeiro is really kind. Manchinha, he's not the opposite, but Manchinha doesn't give a shit. Manchinha is like, Manchinha who is? Manchinha swear, Manchinha not gonna say that you're great, Manchinha not gonna say that he loves you, Manchinha probably gonna show that you're important, Manchinha gonna lift you up, Manchinha has few words. Manchinha get the job done. So like Manchinha drives Luis Ribeiro sometimes, most of the times now. No, Manchinha came out from like the hooligan time, like Manchinha always been like, you know, inside me. Why I put Manchinha on the standby, why Manchinha is out now, I would say that again, like, you know, I met like this girl, this Brazilian girl, and like I think I dropped my guard and like she pretty much like dumped me, you know, and I said, fuck, you know, shit, me looking who I am, you know, kind of 48 years old, you know, black belt, 3 degrees, how can I let it happen? And Manchinha like boom came back from the arch and said, no motherfucker, I'm gonna show how to do the walk, not just the talk. You're gonna walk the talk, you know. So like ever since like Manchinha being kind of in charge, like I do let Luis Ribeiro take actions sometimes, but like I'm sure that like even the way to cheat, like Manchinha is more like strict, like he doesn't compliment too much. Like that's it, got it. If you say you got it and you do wrong, Manchinha doesn't give much attention. Luis Ribeiro go there, oh no, your hand should be here, oh that's okay, oh that was beautiful, can do better next time. Manchinha said, no, you suck, do it again, go back, don't leave until you get it done. That's like the motherfucker, like I'm crazy motherfucker when I say like, man, if when one, like when Manchinha is in charge, Luis Ribeiro just like, you know, it is what it is, sorry.
There are sometimes, Coach, not necessarily with me too much, but there are sometimes when I see you rolling and you can tell sometimes if it's Luis Ribeiro or Manchinha. And to roll with Manchinha is to know what true top pressure really feels like. Do you use that to your advantage? Do you touch into that sometimes?
No, like I haven't used Manchinha. I use Manchinha. I use like, to be honest, like Manchinha is not like a sportship man, I would say. Manchinha is not like into rules. Manchinha is not like, you know, Manchinha doesn't accept the fact like he will lose. I think Manchinha will use everything that he can reach or do it to not lose or like, you know, to don't sell the win is like Manchinha like no, I don't roll with Manchinha. Like I think I'm more like, I would say that is a Luis Ribeiro more like conscious, like man, like jiu-jitsu, like it's the only thing that's kind of hard to explain. Like jiu-jitsu give, like Sharpay was talked to you guys before, like you have the sensibility, you can like read each other's movements, you can predict like what's coming. So like when you make the grip and like when you start push someone to one side, you pretty much know what's coming. For the fact they've been doing like for like good or bad for 20 years, you develop like, ah, okay, cool, that's what the guy gonna do. Of course someone does something different, someone like, you know, react strong, then you cannot get it right, but like you're able to like to catch up with like no, I don't think I ever, the pressure is there because of jiu-jitsu, the way that I learn jiu-jitsu, but like no, Manchinha I haven't used, I don't think I use Manchinha as a reference to roll. It's just like the way that I like to roll basically.
Coach, speaking of that, Manchinha and Luis, there are two phrases one you usually tell to us and one we hear you saying it to yourself. One is be your own hero.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is can't hurt me. What do those mean to you?
Ah, man, be your own hero is like, you know, doing jiu-jitsu for 20 years, be a black belt for like 11, you know, being in contact with like so many, like, you know, celebrities in the sport, you know, being known for like not be a world champion but being known for who I am, you know, not just in the UK but like globally. And it's easy like to any, especially like for someone that's starting with now, like especially young, looking at me and try to be like me or try to make me the hero, you know. And what I want to say is, like, you know, be your own hero. You know, you don't need to be me. You be way better being yourself. You don't need to lie. You know, you don't need, like, you know, compare yourself to somebody else or listen to somebody else. Be your own hero. Regardless if you win or lose, you know, be happy to yourself, you know. And there's a tattoo that will come for me personally, because, like, just like anybody else that do go to down times, maybe, like, my mindset a little bit, like, pick it up faster than anybody else, but, like, I want to be my own hero. Don't be, like, you know, Massa Cyborg or, like, you know, Bochecha, Leandro Lô, Rodolfo Vieira. Yeah, I play like them sometimes, but, like, fuck them, man. I'm who I am. I'm my fucking hero, you know. Don't be like, oh, my dad was my hero. No, fuck him as well. I'm my fucking hero. I don't want my kids, like, you know, say that, oh, my dad was, no, fuck you too. Be your own hero. And it can hurt me. It's like, it go from, even though that, like, is the name of a book, but, like, it reflects really well. Like, you can't let things hurt. Like, you know, you need to see pain the same way that you see pleasure. You know, if you feel like, oh, I'm not going to do this, it's going to hurt. But, hey, I'm going to go out to that girl because that girl gave me a nice, good blowjob, you know, pleasure. No, no. You need to see things in the same way. Like, bad can be good and good can be bad, but not going to hurt me. I'm going to, like, enjoy the process. You know, like, at the end of the day, I decide to be there. I decide to do what's there. And if the outcome is not the way that I was expecting, I cannot let it hurt me. So it was my decision. You know, I decide to be what I am today. I decide to open the gym. I decide to, like, you know, if I break any sort of law, rules, or whatever, the consequence comes on me. I cannot, like, oh, they are punching, can hurt me. It was my decision. Whatever I do is my own decision. If the outcome is good, the outcome is bad, it cannot hurt me. I should see it, like, you know, positive or negative. Cool. It's a learning process, so it cannot hurt me.
When this year started off and the lockdown hit, you and I were talking about, like, what this year was going to look like. Things weren't looking great. And we were talking about kind of the stresses you had and the, like, uncertainty and stuff. And I asked you, I said, how do you cope? Do you remember what you said to me?
So many things I said to you.
You said to me, be comfortable.
In an uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, that's something that I was scared for me. Like, you know, like, today when I come to the gym, you know, I open the gym kind of early to do my workout. Then, like, I open and I walk down and I look at, like, what if I have to close the gym? What would happen? So I stand by the entrance and I was looking clearly, you know, picture of, like, people coming, tapping my shoulder. Oh, it's okay. I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, hopefully it'll be okay. Do you mind if I get a kettlebell? Oh, are you selling the mats? Oh, how much you want for that? The rats, the cockroaches, are going to show up. They're going to take everything. Then we're going to leave an empty space. They're going to leave an empty gym for me and me only. So I'm going to be in the empty space with nothing. The rats will take everything. The cockroaches, the false friends. So I'm not going to let it happen. No, I'm comfortable and I'm going to feel comfortable in a comfortable position. Like, it's tier 4. I cannot, like, you know, do my shit, but I'm not gonna drop my guard. I'm gonna fucking work hard. So, like, I'm not gonna let this fucking motherfucker that I probably listen right now and crying and let you take fuck all from me, motherfuckers. You're gonna have to work hard. The gym gonna carry on with or without tier 4, with or without Boris. I enclose that shit. Do you know why? Because not for me, for the people that trust in the gym. That gym gonna skip off another 10, 20, 50 years. And fuck you that was think to get anything out of me, asshole.
I think on that note, coach.
Beautiful, coach. That was so beautiful.
Especially the end.
Yeah.
Such a little nice touch.
You couldn't have said it better yourself, coach.
No, but it was true, man. I came to this and said, fuck. I fell to the fucking motherfucker, touched my fucking shoulder, say, ho, already. You know? I say, I can put the name. So this guy wants this kettlebell. This guy wants that Bulgarian bag. Ah, gonna have, like, these 5 guys asking for, like, oh, can we have, like, you know, a good deal for, like, maybe 5 or 6 mats? Oh, no, it's just for my garage. Yeah, your garage, yeah, right. I'm pretty sure. Then probably gonna ask for, like, my old belts. That's why I gave all my old belts away. So if, like, you know, if any motherfucker was thinking, like, yeah, it's not gonna last long, so I'm gonna get this and I'm gonna get his belt as well. Fuck you, all my belts gone. No, I don't have my belts there. The belt is all new, and I give nothing to no one. Nobody. Even if I have to start alone again, I give nothing to no one. No clothes.
Coach, I have a question. What is something that you're grateful for?
Life. One thing that I'm not grateful is like a picture that I still carry in my head, and I know like it's over. You know, like I can't understand. I took me a while to understand, but something that like when I left Brazil in 2006, I bought my mom a nice flat. I put her up in a really nice flat. And when the day I left, we had like a big, big row, like a literal, like, no, I slammed the door behind her, jumped in the car, and I said, take the fucking out here, boom, left. And I always said that how much I love her. On this, the same week, she passed away. So like, I couldn't say to her like how much I love her. So like, if there is a regret, it's like slammed that door, not say to her how much I love her, but like, now I know that like we have a good connection, me and her, you know, and I think she said like, oh, look, it's okay, I know who you are, and one thing that like, that's the thing, I like Hillsong more than any other church, like I accept the way that you are, you don't need to change, so like that's something that like, fuck, you know what, my mom, like, I think that's my mom talked to me, I accept the way that you are, so like she yeah, do I act crazy? I do like overreact. I do, you know, like I might be fucked up in the head. Like, you know, seeing the way that my parents like treat each other, you know. Man, like we used to live in a nice house and my father sold the fucking house on my mom's back. So like one day the bailiff literally like chuck us on the street, like nowhere to go. And I say, fuck, you know, like, man, I cannot like, you know, be like so cool. So like, you know, so like, yeah, like, I'm who I am, like, she knows, like, I don't think I'm a bad person, or of course, I have, like, no just quality, but, like, yeah, like, I think that was, like, something that took me a while to get over with, but, like, I wouldn't call regret anymore, but, like, if I had the chance to go back in time, and don't slam that door, and instead just say, it's all right, I'm sorry, give her a hug, and then carry on, I think I would accept, like, the way that she passed out better, but maybe again, I probably wouldn't be who I am today. You know, like seeing her on the table of the hospital, and then like have like all those guys selling like, you know, coffins outside the hospital, and it have to deal with like a lot of shit that I dealt, like to make her last wish, you know, like to bury her by her mom. Dig her grave, put the coffin down, you know, put the sand on top of her. All that thing like made me like who I am. So like sometimes I don't, when people say that like I'm rude, I say, no, well, fuck you. Maybe I am. And if I am, thank for life to made me rude, man. And I don't see myself like talking politely. I don't talk even Portuguese politely. I had education, but man, no. But like, yeah, everything happened for a reason. I guess like when my time come, and I check the chapter up there, and they say, ah, cool, so that was meant to happen because of this. Maybe all this that I said gonna reflect in the next 5-10 years, you know, it might come an answer why I did that. But at the moment, it was a regret, but it's not a regret anymore. It's just like something that like I keep my tabs to remind who I am, and I don't need to change for please. If I don't change to please my kids, so why should I change to please, like, you know, adults?
Is there anything you're proud of, Coach?
Ah, man, my kids should be like, you know, something that I'm proud of, because like they are beautiful, their health. The mom, Julia, also has like a lot on it. Like she is a mom. She born to be a mom. She's like 24/7 mom. Like the education that they have, like, you know, their health, they're well looked after. So like I should be proud of this. The gym, it does make me proud for the fact like, I don't think I describe it well, like speaking in a podcast or like on the camera. I don't think I will ever gonna be able to explain how the gym got where it is. I'm gonna miss like a lot of few details on it. Like, of course, the gym be proud, be able to be sitting here and talk to you, know that I couldn't like speak English. Like, it's also like made me proud, you know, like recognize that like I was a liar, you know, when I said in the beginning of it that like I lie to a lot to be whatever, to achieve something, then I say, oh, no, what's not lying anymore. Like, then, even like, I think I still lying, but like, it's something like when you plan to lie, when you say, okay, I'm gonna have to lie. Some things come like, you know, you guys call fib, you know, like, things natural. I still manage like my words. I don't think what I'm gonna say, but I don't lie to myself. That's for true. Like I plan my days, I write down my follow day, and I stick with it. Like, I think I'll be lying if I don't do what I plan. And if I plan, it has to be done. So like, regardless what happened my day, if I said I was going to do something, I have to get it done. And I cannot just do for the sake of it. If I wrote down that I was going to do anything, it has to be done with majesty. It has to be done like, you know, my best ever, then I can never do it. And if I look behind and I see like I could do it better, so I know I lied to myself. When I do something, I reach my limits to whatever. If it was to clean the toilet, if it was to cheat in a class, if it was to run, whatever. I have to make sure that like, okay, I'm going to do it. That's how I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to lie. I'll get it done. And it has to be done with majesty. It has to be done like passion or love. Like it's, I have to have the compliment. It's like, I did my best. Someone asked me, can you do that? Man, fuck, I did my everything on that day. That's how far I got it. I can try, but like, you know, it's going to be tough. If I overcome, then something else I'd be proud of, because I know that I went beyond my limits. And it's not like I didn't save energy. I put everything there. If you relate to class, like, but how come next day you do a better class than today? I think like it's a constant learning everything. Like I can write down the class program and say, I'm going to do a fucking also class. And the next day, I'm going to do better than that. And then say, how you manage? I think like it goes with like the vibe, the guys come, like, see if I was able to deliver the information. Because like most of you got used to my broken English. So like, you kind of understand the words that I speak, but there are people that doesn't know me well and they still not getting the technique or the concept right. So like that's go down to me that I wasn't deliver a good information. So like, okay, I can improve on that aspect. So like if I improve the way that I speak, means that I'll be able to deliver a good class. So like I'll be reaching my top level again. So like I can reach my top level people that know me. Now the question, can I reach my top level people doesn't know me? Sometimes like speaking doesn't make it easy. So like the body language or like, you know, situation, comparison or this and that. So like it's always like a field to grow. But I always look to give like my everything. I want to get home like with like no energy. So like my sleep should be like my recharge time.
Coach, I must say a good example of that is when a lot of the lockdown restrictions came and then the gyms opened, we could train, but we could only train with one person and we all had to, the classes couldn't be divided. It's quite fascinating how you adapted so well by finding a new way of teaching. And I'm finding, I was talking with Olya about this, it's like I'm finding that even for me when I'm not on the mats, which is not as much as before now, it's like when I'm thinking about it, even my thinking about how can I improve with this new way of learning, it's much better.
Yeah, it's what Oli said, you know, be comfortable in a comfortable position. Like, and then what I said just now, like I can't, okay, like, you know, shit can hit the fun, you know, shit can hit the fun, you know, the worst come to the worst, I might have to, you know, just like in life, everything has a start, mid, and end. I might have to, but if I have to one day close the gym, at least I know I didn't sell it easy. I know that like Boris didn't take it to me and I was like sitting praying, you know, like putting my hands, and then people say, oh, but you're so faith to God, where is your God, man? Like, you know, that's not something that also like piss me off, like when people say, oh, you why are you so faithful, why you believe in God, God doesn't exist, or Jesus, and that's okay, cool, it doesn't exist for you, it exists for me. And then when you in a fucking deep hole, you come to me and ask me, can you pray for your God? I say, but you said he doesn't exist, you know. And like I don't want to be sitting expecting like, oh, please send like, you know, the vaccine for like reopen, you know, have to adjust, you know, like it's those 4-6 months, whatever, I was thinking, and like, man, I need to be better, I need to be better, I want to be better, but I don't want to be better for you to learn jiu-jitsu. It's against my, it's my race, me against me. Look in the mirror again, you know, see that reflection, laughing at me, say, hey, you know why you suck? And I say, what do you mean you suck? Because I know you can do better. So like, the reflection knows how to trigger. And then it goes back what I said, like, you know, when I see my mom and my dad have an argument, fight, you know, I don't know what my mom said to him. I was sleeping. I just wake up and see both, like, you know, try to choke each other, you know, punching one side, swing the other side, you know, screaming. I don't know what's happened, you know. I remember when my dad was really asshole with me. I remember exactly what I did. He didn't talk. He was a man of action. So, like, yeah, cool. If I say to you what he did, you guys gonna say, oh, coach, he did that. Oh, my God, that's horrible. But, hey. And he said, but he was too young. Well, yeah, I was young, but like from which age do you learn like where you're not supposed to steal, especially from your parents, you know, like, you know, I think you learn it from like 3, 4, maybe, you know, not like 8, 10, 12. So from the moment that you decide to be like the smart ass and steal from your parents, so the consequence will come. So like, don't expect like, you know, a little slap on the wrist and say, oh, don't do this ever again, you're gonna take like your cookie. So my dad was kind of hard on me, but like I knew what he did. You know, he never like woke up, look at me and say, hey, if you like gonna beat you up today, come here. You know, I know I fucked up. He didn't manage the way that most people would, but like, again, I'm not gonna clap to him. Like, you know, I have respect to him, and I don't allow anyone to say anything bad towards him, a part of myself. At the end of the day, I'm part of his flesh. So like, I can say anything bad about him because it's me and him, nobody else. And anybody ask how he treats me, how he was with my mom, this and that, and say, oh, he was a nasty guy, I say, excuse me, pardon me, do you mind to watch your language until you talk about my dad? But somebody crazy, yes, I'm a crazy motherfucker, so leave him alone. My mom is always going to be my hero, regardless, but my dad has my respect. Without of him, I wouldn't be here in this earth speaking. And like believing in God, you know, like I know he gave like, you know, everybody strength. So we're not going to be sitting, waiting, you know, what's this or that. Like he said, bro, you have health. You woke up, eyes open, arms leg moving. What else do you want from me? What else? Do you want me to send the fucking army of angels, you know, like, you know, sing, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, man. I know he trusts me, I know he accepts the way that I am, so the rest is on me. So like, that's why, like, you know, I change, and I'm gonna change even more. Like, man, like, I'm fucking pumped for like the online cheats that will come for 2020. As long as this lockdown goes, I can guarantee to you, you learn, you're gonna get better, even if you're in the airplane. That's for sure.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for being here with us today, Coach.
Fight sports, porra! Fight sports, forever.
By the way, is there like a message you'd like to leave to anybody or anything that you'd like to share before?
Like the only thing to say, like, man, as hard it is, don't lie. And if you did lie already, I challenge you to go back right now and say, look, man, you know what I said to you 5 minutes ago? It sucked up, but man, it was a lie. Sorry, man. Even like to, man, even to poor girl, you know, even to poor girl, you give me some tips, and like I pull the girl, but like I said, man, I'm not gonna lie to this woman, you know, I'm gonna be like, you know, honest, clear, like no lie. And if for people that are lies, I say, bro, you know what, that thing that I told like 2 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, 2 hours ago, man, I just try to impress, man, it was a lie. I'm sorry, I'm not that person. So like, don't lie. Honestly, like, even if it is to poor girl, even if like you say the truth and they say, ah, no, you're too honest, or like you're too crazy motherfucker, I'm gonna leave you. There are someone that's gonna accept the way that you are. So like, don't lie. And in terms of jiu-jitsu, don't rush for the belts. Okay, like my students don't want they go through. Like you, especially like you have something that I didn't have. I have to write my own blue belts on my waist. So, like I did on you. So like you. As great you look at me, look the difference. I'm looked to in the great way because like you got the feeling that I never did. So like I can be a fucking badass. I can be like, you know, gym owner. I can have like, you know, wow, OGs. Like you got something that like I never had. And I'm gonna have to die, born again, grow up, start doing jiu-jitsu, and I hope that like, you know, I get that feeling. So like I'm trying to give to you all what I didn't have. Like the feeling like when they know, and like I make you guys go through this process, they say, ah, no, don't go through this process. I want like him, you know. Then they don't realize they want to be like me. Even if I don't be like you, but like if you're Russian, I want to give to you something that like is unique, something that like only you know what it is. And like somebody else, yeah, so like it's not like fucking internet in the fucking belt, like Telere and the Mass Cyborg. That those two, they only look how old I am, how long it took me to get that feeling. That feeling is not even close the feeling that I know how much that belt represents to you. And the other thing that, like, going back to what I'm proud of, the way that I give belts away, is not like anywhere else. I doubt. Like, being old school, I doubt, like, anyone would give belts the way that I do. Even in the grading or, like, out of the blue. Like, that's something that, like, you know what? I have tried to have a connection that, like, for all positive things in me, like, maybe Luis Ribeiro come up, have a meeting machine and say, look, you're going to do it, but you're going to do it in style. Those fuckers need to look at that belt and say, man, this belt is special for every reason. Technique, personality, teamwork, you know, hard work. It has to have a minute. It has to have a minute that didn't have for me, but they have to have. So, like, something else to put in the list, what I'm proud with, the way that I give the belts away.
I love it.
I think that was longer. It was meant to be like 50 minutes. I fucking talk.
Nah, it's lovely. Guys, thank you so much for being here with us and listening.
And we will be in touch with you soon.
Share the page.
Subscribe. We've got plans in the work to make sure that the podcast does keep continuing. And thank you for listening as well.
Stay safe in these streets.